We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Man, that's a good. This one brings back some memories.
Yeah, it does.
Mason, this was way before Aaron Rodgers said R-E-L-A-X to Jason Woldy on the radio. We did, it was Tuesdays, it was a segment called Tuesdays with Aaron. Before Tuesdays with Aaron, it was a segment with Tuesdays with Tauscher, where while Tauscher was a player, he would join us every Tuesday. And yeah. Actually, Aaron Rodgers got his start on the radio because they were golfing together at Whistling Straits. Tauscher had to hit a shot. He just gave the phone to Aaron Rodgers while Homer and I were on the air. Like,
nice.
Not even telling us who he was giving the phone to. And Aaron was still a backup at the time.
Yeah.
And he was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Crushed it. But anyway, this was Mark Tauscher's theme music. Yeah. Like, when he first started doing... when he first started doing radio hits, when he wasn't a big radio, you know, guy yet, but he was just, you know, an offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers.
Just doing his thing. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it makes sense for Tausch.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that's a great song. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. Excuse me. Joining us now, you know, I just, yeah, it's all right.
Joining You're us thinking now, a lot of things.
I am. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, from the Eurostep Podcast, with just delicious lamb that just fall, you know, is just juicy and wonderful. He is Ty Windisch. Ty, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I agree. I'll indulge in a chicken Euro from time to time, but a true Euro, it's got to be like the hunk on the spinning thing, right?
Like right.
That's really
where you're
the
cutting
authentic.
It off. Yep.
Yeah,
with
shave
the sword.
It off of there. That's exactly.
Nice. You got to have a sword.
That's what I prefer.
The sword. And rotating very slowly. Yes. Oh, I'm here
just
for
a meat cube. You don't think about it too much, about the cube much. You don't want to think about it too much, but it tastes good.
Love True. It. And, yeah, where it's presented. I was talking to somebody over the 4th about that, and they were like, oh, man, I had these amazing tacos, and they were shaving it off, like, and they were down in Mexico, and I was like, and he was like, it was inside, and I was like, oh, okay, because like I remember as a kid going, and we'd be in like a little market, like walking around, you know, in Mexico, and they'd have them outside, and the flies are going around, and they're chopping them. I'm like, I don't know if I'm down for that, but yeah. So
yeah,
how you doing, Ty? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah, I'll save the. I won't. At the Renaissance Fair, they have those turkey legs, and I hear those also. They get hosed down if they're outside, and made me change my stance on those. But I'm doing good. It's been a very fun Bucks off season, very active. I think some moves that nobody saw coming, myself included. So keeping up with all the cap stuff, all the possibilities, and seeing what is the team right now and where do they go from here. And that's the stuff that, you know, gets us going at the Eurostep. So it's been a fun, busy couple of weeks in July here.
For sure, yeah, Ty. So just run us down your thoughts on, you know, re-signing of players and, you know, bringing in Miles Turner and all the Dame Lillard stuff. I mean, there's a lot that's going on. We've been talking about it so much, so I'd love to hear your thoughts and your opinion on all of those moves that have been made.
Yeah, certainly didn't see this coming. You know, opening up cap space I had thought was just never going to happen in the near future again for the Bucks. Certainly not this year. And it's obviously painful to waive a player like Damian Lillard, a player of that stature who, you know, you gave up quite a bit to get and was just so important to the team and putting him with Giannis. But I think on our first show after our kind of immediate reaction, I said, you know, as much as it's painful, I think they really probably ended that era on the court there when the Achilles popped and that, and this was formalizing it. But realistically, Giannis is 30 now, turns 31 early in the season. This gap year idea sounded great, but I think the more I look at this, I just think leveraging everything you can for the next 2 to 3 years when Giannis is going to be 30 to 31 to 32 and then 33 just makes more sense intuitively than saying, let's maximize Giannis when he's turning 33 2 years from now, when I think he'll still be really good then, but these are the prime of his career years. And I think there's a certain nobility, even if it's risky, in saying, we're going to try and do what we can to put the team together now. We're going to bring back the players who played well last year. We're going to get younger. We're going to bring in Miles Turner, who I think is probably the perfect fit next to Giannis at this point in his career. And maybe there's another move or two. I think they're in on a lot of players who are available right now. I think they know they're a little light on perimeter play, but that front court sure looks good. And I can appreciate John Horst in this front office continuing to just go all in and say, Giannis, you're our guy. We're going to give you every chance we can.
Ty, yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, the creativity that they sought out to go and get Miles Turner. And if anything, they kind of did Dame a service and a justice to say, like, hey, we're gonna carry your contract and we're gonna take that hit. We're gonna release you. Now you can go sign with a team that you want to whenever you're healthy. So if anything, from a player side, like it always, it's never fun getting released, but he actually now has opportunity to go and extend his career, and then he'll find a place that really fits for him. Talk about that. You said, they're in the backcourt. They signed Rollins. They have KPJ. They're looking at those guys as potential, the guy to carry it at the point guard. Do you see a potential move happening to go get a veteran to kind of shore that up, or do you think those two can carry it?
I think they can carry it. I think they really did show that down the stretch last season when, we were saying on the show, obviously, you lose something if you're aggregating one player's production into two, right? The whole point is getting less players who can do more, especially in the NBA when you only have five on the court. But Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. combined basically were meeting Dame's production throughout the course of the games. It was roughly the same as if you had Dame and then an ineffective backup guard, which we've seen plenty of throughout the time covering the Bucks, unfortunately. So I think they feel okay about that. I think it's more about just pure talent in the perimeter. I don't think it has to be the point guard spot. I think, unfortunately, probably the most talented scorer right now, who I should say is poised to become available, Bradley Beal, has not been bought out yet. But if he was willing to come on a veteran minimum contract, which is pretty much all the Bucks have left to offer, obviously just, player who went through the ups and downs, mostly downs in Phoenix, but someone who scored 30 a game before in this league, who's not super old. I mean, that's no one else on the team besides Giannis can say that, right? Just having another go-to scorer in the half court, I think, is probably what they need the most. They could use some wing defense, I think, too. Maybe they just use Kuzma there. We'll see. But I look at it as not they need a point guard necessarily, but more of, okay, Chris Paul's an impact player. Can we get Chris Paul for, you're not giving up anything. These veterans, it's just filling a roster spot with a minimum deal. So I think they're just taking as many of these swings as possible to see, can we just get another impact player? I think, frankly, they'd prefer if it was a three. I'd say that's what they have the least of right now, the small forward. But there's just not meant, those guys aren't, there's not like a proven 3-and-D wing out there for vet men. That doesn't exist in the league anymore. They're too valuable at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ty Windish with the Eurostep podcast. We're talking Bucks and all the moves that they've made on the Mason Crosby show. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I think Mitch, has talked multiple times about Bradley Beal.
Yeah,
if you want to talk about that a little bit, Mitch.
Ty, as you were saying that, I felt like we were like separated at birth because like I think that's exactly those were exactly the word. Like things ended poorly in Washington. It was never a fit in Phoenix. We have no idea if he has his head screwed on straight, right? But if he does, playing next to a guy like Giannis, I think that's the type of thing that can screw your head on straight, because Giannis does things the right way all the time. And if Beal can come in and give that offensive punch, that does get them offensively where they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, a player who I identified before the Dame trade is like, this would be a great option to put next to a Jrue Holiday if possible, right? And then they tried to do that, and Beal picked Phoenix at the time, but needs that defensive help, I think. I think Rollins becomes an even more important player because he's probably your best guard defender on the roster right now. But Beal, even in the bad year in Phoenix, where everyone said, I think, frankly, scapegoated him for a lot of their issues, which were bigger than Bradley Beal, guy who averaged 17 points, 3-something assists, 3-something rebounds, shooting like 50 from the field, 40% from three, and 80% from free throw. Like that's strong numbers for a so-called malcontent who didn't fit and was an issue. And again, defensively, he didn't help. I think Phoenix's issue was their best three players' skill sets all completely overlapped, and they didn't have some of the kind of the pieces around them to make that fit together. Milwaukee, while the Bucks, I do think shooting guard is one of their stronger positions. That's the unfortunate part. None of them are as proven scorers as Beal. And to your point, Mitch, Beal and Giannis just makes a lot of sense. Like some of the pick and roll stuff we wanted more of with Dame, but also just someone where when Giannis is off the court, this is one of the things I'm most worried about right now as the roster stands. You're asking a lot of players to really step up and do a lot, maybe outside of their comfort zone offensively. Whereas if you have Bradley Beal, that's what he does. Give him the ball, he'll go and get a bucket. That's some of the Chris Paul appeal, too, of like he can run a pick and roll with anyone, and it's going to be an efficient action even at year 40. Having that would be nice. Now, again, the point guard spot getting a little full there, but I think that's what they're looking for, you know, up the attack with Giannis, but also can we keep things afloat offensively without him is going to be crucial for this team, too.
Man, yeah, I love that breakdown, Ty. And something that I've said a couple times, and, you know, just being in that space for a long time, you know, I do feel like at some point here, Giannis has to break some of the silence and, like, maybe just, you know, kind of get out in front of this. You know, obviously the trade talks, all that stuff is kind of quieted down. But at some point, I think he just needs to, you know, he's going to have to come out. And I don't know if it's before the season starts or when they report, but just, you know, give that affirmation of this is what we're doing. I'm excited. We're gonna go and chase the championship. Do you think that's important for the team and for the fans, or is that just kind of a nothing burger?
I think it's important, probably more for the fans. I mean, we got the report. You know, Chris Haynes came out with the Giannis doesn't like the way things ended with Dame day of, but also Shams from ESPN had the, you know, he and Turner are excited to play together. So I think that was kind of a, you know, it's tough it had to end this way, but that is an exciting pairing. I think Giannis realizes that. So I think, you know, I'm not a big GM Giannis guy. I think a lot of this stuff gets overblown in the league because of some narratives with LeBron like 10 years ago. Yeah. But I do think there, to some level, he was like, yeah, I'm intrigued by the team we're putting together here. I would imagine it'll either be like we usually get one a year, like a Greek or a other Europe source. Maybe we'll get an interview with him and he'll give some sort of at least vaguely supportive, or maybe it'll be when he's back. Because I know right now he's got his whole family in Greece. They're vacationing. He's posting on social, having a great time dancing on a yacht.
So yeah, he is.
Certainly not looking not looking like a guy stressed out about the 47th overall pick, which is, you know, what ESPN was running with during the draft. Like, oh, they have to exactly. Get that pick. Like, yeah, I'm sure that's make or break for
that's
him.
That's something Bobby that he's stressed about, yeah.
Yeah, versus Tyrese Proctor there. So I think it's fine. I don't think fans should have to worry. But, of course, anytime the big fella comes and says, you know, I'm ready to go in Milwaukee this year, let's go win one, which I think is probably his outlook, it makes everyone feel better from the top down. So I hope it happens, but it's not something I'm dying to see, if that makes sense. So I don't need it, but I want it.
I like that. Yeah, Ty Windish, the Eurostep podcast, joining the Mason Crosby Show. And we're talking all things Bucks. Yeah, I totally agree. From a player perspective, it was like, yeah, those things, like we internally talked. Everything was always good. Yeah. But I will say, like, when Aaron would jump out in front of the media and, like, give those things, it did. I think it just put everybody on the same path. And those are important things for superstars to kind of lead the way for the organization and for the fan base. And and Giannis does a good job with that. I'm not worried about like where his head is and all those, but I do think as that time comes, it's going to kind of shape where the mindset is for this organization and fan base. But I'm excited about this season. I was joking in an earlier segment, missing football a little bit though.
Yeah,
so it was like, you know, it's like, you know, had to talk a little football in the previous segment, and I don't know where all your allegiances lie, but I'm guessing, are you a Packers fan and like you know dive into any of that space?
Yeah, I am. So I kind of came back to it. It's interesting. Like my rebellious phase as a kid was not like riding a motorcycle. I started following the Saints for a bit there. Like I was a nerd, as you could tell. I was like, I'm going to cheer for a different sports team for a while. So, you know, watching that game, that first game back in New Orleans after the Hurricane Katrina, Greece had that insane comeback, I was just like, these guys are awesome. So kind of rolled with them for a while, still watching a lot of Packers, but now doing more of like the media stuff and just doing more, hanging out with friends and stuff here locally, just started to fall back into the Packers more. So if you want to say fake fan, I'm okay with it. But watching those games now, not doing the $10,000 Sunday ticket just to watch the Saints go 4-13 or whatever. So much nice. More fun to just watch the Packers games, talk to people about the Packers. So excited for the season as well. I love basketball the most, but there's nothing like football Sunday. The way they make every week feel like a primetime event, there's nothing like it in sports, at least American sports. So I'm excited for it too. Fall is a special time.
You're making Mason feel good, Ty. I can already see I can see the goosebumps, like you, how excited Mason is for week one NFL football.
Well, I don't understand. Like, the NFL is usually, you know, at the top of everything, and it's like they've now lost July somehow. Like, so, like, I don't understand why they don't have
they've lost the first half of July.
On. Yeah, just a
training camp
of July.
Is coming, bro.
Exactly. They got to take like a half a month off. Yeah.
Ty Wendish joining us here on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. Ty, Summer League starts, Thursday night? I think Bucks-Denver.
Yeah, for the Bucks. Yep.
How much, do you get it? Do you get into Summer League? What are you looking for? Is anybody, like Austin Jackson Jr., we know is playing, and like, does he need to prove himself or do something? Like, what are you watching for in Summer League this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know the answer, Mitch. I'm a sicko with this stuff. I'm super excited. There's two total first-round picks in all the games they currently have scheduled. It's like they put all the teams who didn't use premium draft picks together so no one could watch those games, and I'm so excited. So they did push back Andre Jackson Jr.'s guarantee date, which is a little interesting. I don't think it really has much to do with how he looks at Summer League. It may just be more flexibility if there was other moves coming and they needed to potentially waive him, but probably a nervy Summer League for him regardless, with that happening yesterday and him playing in 2 days. I'm excited for the rookie, Boglia Markovic. We're not sure if he's going to be on the roster or not. He may stay in Europe for another year, but we do know he's going to be on the Summer League team. So big opportunity for him to maybe influence that decision. Tyler Smith, the second round rookie from last year, has some really fun tape. He's going to be there. So seeing those two kind of, are they threes? Are they fours? Who do they play with in the rotations? Like, how do they look guarding? That's going to be really exciting for me. There's some like Hurd and G League players. John Butler Jr. is a big who can really shoot it. The Hurd traded for last year. He's going to be there. I'm excited about that. Mark Sears, the two way, the legendary college career. Not a tall guy, so it's going to be difficult for him to make it in the league.
Jalen Brunson. He's the next Jalen Brunson. Ty, come on.
There it is. Yeah.
If he's like half of that, I think that'd be an amazing outcome, and we would certainly take it. I'm excited here in Oshkosh. And then last one, Kata Bates-Jopp, NBA veteran, who's had a pretty solid role for his career. They added him. So if that shot looks good, he could get an NBA or a Europe job from this summer league too.
So I kind of think Tyler Smith can be something. Am I wrong? Like, I feel like it's in him. I don't know if it'll get there, but I feel like having just watched the flashes like that, it's like, whether it's athleticism or basketball sense, it seems like it's a little bit more than some of those other guys.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I was really high on him. I wanted them to use the first round pick on him in that draft, and they ended up just getting him anyway. And our thing was kind of like, it's like some of these NFL drafts where after the first round, you're like, what were they doing? Then they get the guy who falls in the early second, and it's like, oh, I guess if you just reverse him, it's fine. I think Smith is going to be an NBA player of some variety. The big thing for him is going to be the defense, but at that size, 6'11", he's a good athlete. His athleticism pops. He's had some really athletic rebounds and dunks and a block, and he just needs to be able to guard on the perimeter. Like, I don't think he'll ever be like a 4'5". I don't think he'll ever have the heft to play center, but can you guard on the perimeter? And especially coming into this season, you know, with Giannis, Portis, Miles Turner, and then Jericho Sims all locked up, not a lot of front court minutes. So can he defend the three? That's what I'm really watching for. Maybe the number one thing in Summer League is if they put him on, you know, Noah Essengay, the wing the Bulls just drafted, or other, you know, real wing players, how does he do staying in front? How does he do defensively? Because I think we know that shot is real. And at that size with a good shot, I think you're going to be an NBA player. It's just like, are you a limited role player off the bench or can you be more? That's the big question. But I really like Tyler Smith's prospects.
Well, Ty, hey, as the summer is starting and all of that, like, where do you think the Bucks finish at the end of this next season? Like, just a wild prediction right now. I want to know.
I've been cooking this one for a while, Mason.
All right.
I think top four. I really do. I know everyone's really low on them. I know you go around the league and they're projected ninth or whatever. I think you look at some of the numbers last year, and I'm not saying Dame was a negative, but they were better with Dame off the court in a lot of samples. I just think there's something to this idea of, you know, the weak link defensive philosophy of the league now, which is becoming prevalent, which is it doesn't matter who's your best defender. It matters who's your weakest. Mm. I think Milwaukee now has a lot faster. They can play a more modern style on both ends. And Giannis makes the whole thing go. So I think top four.
Well, I like it. You heard it right here. Let's on the Mason Crosby Show. Ty Windish, top four for the Bucks, and I love that. I love that. Ty, really appreciate you jumping on. I don't know if you have anything else for Mitch.
The only thing I have is behind you on your wall, we can see like half of a jersey. What is the full 24?
So it's
Desmond Mason?
It's in our intro.
It's a Desmond Mason?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Pat Connaughton.
I was going to say, is it Pat? I mean, oh, Pat nice. Connaughton's the obvious. I was trying to go a little, I'm trying to think who else wore 24 back in the day. I don't even know.
I love that it's just, like not marked.
No name.
Just
Patty C.
Well, we had him in a merch store. Didn't want to get sued, frankly. But I said they should put the number in the rafters if they won the title during the Nets series in 21. Because he was the only bench guy to play late in the series, hit some huge shots. So they did it. So I put it up here, even if it doesn't go up in the Fiserv rafters.
Perfect.
Nice.
Ty Windish, Eurostep Podcast, join the Mason Crosby Show. Really appreciate you, Ty, and look forward to having you on again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
All right.
Absolutely. That's Ty Windish from the Eurostep Podcast. Thanks to him for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Richard Jefferson wore 24. Jerry Stackhouse wore 24.
Ooh, I looked up some of these numbers
Danny
as well.
Shays, Jay Humphries.
Do you know who Dudley Bradley is, Mitch?
Dudley Bradley.
I have no idea.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Never heard that name ever.
I don't know.
Well, he's not a number 24.
I feel like that's Jared Dudley's alter ego right there. That's where I'm at with it. So.
But that's not a number 24, is it?
Yeah. I'm on the Bucks history page right here. So, Dudley Bradley.
Oh, Dudley Bradley, 87, 88.
Right above Joel Bologna.
Jay Humphries.
Joel Bologna.
Jay Humphries
I think it's
really good for him.
Ballenboy. Ballenboy?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Joel Ballenboy in 2018, and then Connaughton took it over in 19. Again, our thanks to Ty Windish for jumping on Eurostep Podcast on the fan guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Gets us a little excited. Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. on NBA TV, Bucks versus Denver. If you recognize 1/8 of the players, you get a gold star.
Yep.
That's pretty much
it. Just come on the show the next day and tell us some of the players that you you were excited about.
Yeah, at any point, if there's 10 players on the court for the two teams, if you know two of them, you get that gold star. More coming up here on the Mason Crosby Show, a little NIL talk to get into. But before that, Mason Crosby and his good buddy Jordy Nelson are going to be at the Beloit Brouhaha Softball Slam, a charity softball game, July 27th. So let's, July 27th, what is that, a Sunday?
Sunday.
Yep, all right, Sunday, July 27th. It's in Beloit where the Skycarp?
Correct.
Okay, Skycarp play, yep. It's at ABC Supply Stadium. It'll feature football legends, Wisconsin and Illinois celebrities. Rumor that Tommy Wirtz, Tommy, you might be there?
We will not have a leadoff show, and I will be there that
day.
Can we
do the leadoff show from the Skycarp Stadium?
Yeah, let me just run it from here while I host it out there. Yeah,
just do it. Just have a walk around, a pack on and just go.
Regardless, we're going to be raising a ton of money for Make-A-Wish Wisconsin, one of our all-time favorites here in Wisconsin. Longtime executive director Patty Gorski just retired. Wendy Cousins takes over. Forrest Doolin's still there. They do amazing work at Make-A-Wish Wisconsin, so we are going to be supporting them. Register for your chance to win tickets at thefanmilwaukee.com, thefanmilwaukee.com. More of the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, who I think they're coming to my house today at 1:30.
Ooh, nice. Get that internet set up. Little
boosted internet.
Perfect.
Powered by our friends at Verizon. They are the number one network in Milwaukee.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.